responsible for. Today's commentary. This is lesson 5 of Isaiah's chapters 11 and 12. This is going to be short, so you guys are going to have more time in your small group. But these are joyful chapters, so we're going to have a little joy today. Ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. So, continuing the themes of justice and redemption, Isaiah speaks to the redemption of the Redeemer Messiah, who he introduced back in chapter 7, 14, and also spoke about in 9, 1 through 6, the Holy Seed of Israel. This is the beginning of a messianic poem that describes the characteristics of the coming Messiah, who is a descendant of Jesse. Jesse was the descendant of Ruth and Boaz. Jesse was born into the tribe of Judah, and he was the father of King David, an ancestor of all the kings of Judah. He's also the ancestor to the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Isaiah's prophecy is that when the line of the Davidic king seems to be destroyed, a shoot or branch will grow from the roots, the remnant of the house of David, and on him will rest the spirit of Yahweh. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and his delight will be the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, 2 through 3 lists out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He will be filled with the Spirit of God like the prophets. This prophecy points to Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the promised Davidic Messiah. God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon Jesus at his baptism in Matthew 3, 16. We hear that. And the good news of hope is that the gifts of the Spirit that are his are transferred to baptized and confirmed Christians as his heirs. St. Paul wrote, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." And that's Romans 8, 14, 17. And the Catechism teaches, the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. They belong in their fullness to Christ, Son of David. They complete and perfect the virtues of those who receive them. They make the faithful docile and ready and readily obeying divine inspirations. And that's Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1831. The Catechism goes on to teach that the fruits of the Spirit are perfections that the Holy Spirit forms in us as the first fruits of eternal glory. The tradition of the church lists 12 of them, and they are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity. That's Catechism 1832. It quotes Galatians 5:22-23. The gifts of the Spirit listed in Isaiah are the interior gifts that we receive from Christ, and they become the fruits of the Spirit when we apply those gifts to our lives and put those perfections into practice. Isaiah's prophecy states that in the reign of the Messiah, with sin forgiven and with man's full and complete reconciliation with God, lasting peace will be the result and justice will be established. We can expect this idyllic time after Jesus' second advent, the last judgment, and the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. In Isaiah 11, 1 through 16, Isaiah gave God's third prophecy of the coming of the Davidic Messiah to redeem God's people and to usher in a kingdom that returns all creation to the ideal unity with God that was enjoyed before the fall of Adam. We wait in joyful hope of the coming of Jesus Christ. That joyful hope is proclaimed in chapter 12, which is a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 12:1 refers to that day, And in 11:10 through 12, when he established the new kingdom by gathering the scattered people from the four corners of the earth. The church sees herself as the holy remnant, of mankind that has experienced God's salvation in the work of Jesus Christ. And as in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 12, she feels called to give witness to her joy before all mankind. Therefore, the Council of Vatican II declares all sons and daughters of the church should have a lively awareness of their responsibility to the world. They should foster in themselves a truly Catholic spirit. They should spend their forces in the work of evangelization, and yet let everyone know that their first and most important obligation for the spread of the faith is this: to lead a profoundly Christian life. So what does it mean to live a profoundly Christian life? You know, I try to live a Christian life, and many times I fail. We're called to a profound Christian life. And that statement brings to mind examples of people like St. Mother Teresa. That's a profound Christian life. It doesn't bring up Kathy McCormick. That's not, you know, what comes to mind when I think of a profound Christian life. But I fall short of that. I own that. I fall short of the profound Christian life. But if I stop the comparison game, which we tend to do, and I look at how God has called me, Kathy McCormick, to live, the question becomes, have I been open to the workings of the Holy Spirit each day of my singular life? I am a child of God. Have I offered up my life in service to Him? At His baptism, Jesus came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. A voice from the heavens proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Does the Lord say that about me? Yes, and all of you. To live a profoundly Christian life means that I am to open myself up to the work of the Holy Spirit and utilize the gifts of the Holy Spirit in all things. If I do that, my life will bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and I will be an example of charity, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity. These chapters in Isaiah are a respite of hope. Respite. God, our Creator, has promised us redemption. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, redeemed us through His death and resurrection. Before Jesus left this earth, He promised to be with us always and breathed on His apostles the Holy Spirit. We share in that gift. We have the Holy Spirit to carry us through until the second coming of Jesus Christ, a day that will bring us to a place of no more suffering and no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live a full and abundant life in service to God until the day when we come face to face with our Redeemer Messiah. This is joy, and we proclaim it, and we own it, because our Lord has given it to us. So, my song, I told you this was a short one. My song is from